Welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
All right, welcome to the last week of our four-week series of Hearing God. If you haven't caught up with us, if you haven't been to all of them or missed some of them, you can go online and download them for free. You can get our podcast. It'll download in your phone automatically, I believe, on Mondays. And so please avail yourself to the full teaching, because we're taking time to talk about the four pillars that you need to establish in your life and your understanding to be confident that you hear God's voice. One of the things that this is an intimidating subject for most Christians. They feel like, well, I'm never going to be spiritual enough to hear God. Maybe after I'm a Christian another 5 years or another whatever amount of time, there'll always be another rung of the ladder you're going to put above you that you have to reach before you'll feel, quote, qualified to hear God's voice. But we discovered in God's word that because you're a child of God, you not only have a right, but an expectation, but a responsibility to hear God's voice. The scripture says in Romans, the many years of the sons and daughters of God, he said he will lead you by his spirit. Now, we're talking about hearing God in an everyday life context, not just in a general kind of, spiritual sense, but how to hear God in everyday life. Getting direction for your life is critical, because whatever direction you follow, that you end up in that location. The Bible says there are many voices in the earth. None of them are without significance. So the question isn't, am I hearing? The question is, who am I hearing? What am I hearing? What is governing my life? Many Christians, many dear people, they're governed that what they hear, the culture gives them direction, and they follow the course of a culture literally set on fire of hell. You know, our own bodies can speak to us. Do you know that your flesh, your outer man, how many of you know the outer man is perishing? The inward man is renewed day by day. How many of you have gotten older and realized that scripture is absolutely true? The outer man, it changes. And, I look in the mirror sometimes and I think, is that my dad or is that me? Things change. But your flesh even has a voice, has cravings, demands, that if you let that govern your life, it will take you in a bad direction. Years ago, when Michelle and I were living in Africa, we were missionaries. We were driving along, and this is the first time we were, asked for directions. We pulled over and asked a person. We said, hey, how do we get to such and such? And they said this to us: what you must do is go straight away about 3 kilometers. And when you come to the first robot, make a left. And we were like, pardon me? The first what? Robot. Did you say robot? Yes, the first robot, you must make a left. I said, what's a robot? Because in my mind, I'm not a Star Wars fan. I've never seen any of them. I refuse to do so until the whole world sees Godfather 1 and 2, but that's another story. But no, I am going to catch up. Steve Moore, he's watched those things and he's encouraged me. News will get caught up. He told me how to do that. But I understand there's a little robot, R2-D2, right? Yes, I got that right. This little robot thing. And so in my mind, I'm thinking we're going to go up 3.5 kilometers and we're going to see R2-D2. Now, that's a South African accent of an Afrikaans, because that's where we stayed, eh? You had to be there. Anyway, can't believe it. No, man, that's Afrikaans. Anyway, when they speak English. But anyway, so we're thinking we're going to see a robot. Well, I said, a robot? What's a robot? No, man, a traffic light. What's wrong with you? Don't you know what a robot is? Very often, that's how we get direction in life. It's unclear to us. We don't know our next steps. We don't know where to make the left, where to make the right. And that's what will help you understand. We saw and discovered that God's voice in my life and your life, his will established in my life and your life, has two basic aspects to it that you must be acquainted with. The first is there is an aspect of the will of God where you hear God's voice that is general and revealed for everybody. It's the same for everybody. It doesn't vary, not even a shadow of a turning. It doesn't even millimeter of any movement, and not even a thought of a turn. And that's the word of God. The four pillars that we've looked at the wisdom of God. We looked at the word of God. The third, we looked at the spirit of God last week. This week, we're going to look at the people of God. Now, the word of God is where you'll find the voice of God, God speaking to you, God magnifying his word above his very name. In fact, the Bible said Jesus was the word made flesh and dwelt among us. God's word is the same for everybody. The scripture says God's word is not of private interpretation. Everybody is being told the same thing. So if the word of God speaks in an issue and you're a Christian, and it's clearly not some obscure scripture you've pulled in out of context, but in context, if the word of God clearly speaks to the issue, the subject, your life, whatever, then you have direction from God. Now, the decision whether you follow it or not, or I follow it, is a whole other issue. And then, of course, we talked about the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God. This week, we're going to talk about the people of God. Now, the three, that is the wisdom of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God, deal with the other aspect of the will of God where you hear his voice, is the specific will of God for your life. You see, you cannot pick up your Bible and find out should this be the person I marry? There is no, marriage verse 5. You won't find that. What job should you get? What career path should you follow? What changes should you make in your life? What do you do when little Jim Bob comes to your house and wants to date Susie Bob, your daughter? You better hear God's voice. We want to talk about, now, in the wisdom of God, in the spirit of God, and in the people of God, that's where it drills down to the specifics. Do you know that you can hear the specific will of God in your everyday life? Do you know the Bible speaks to those things generally, but they can be specific to you? And then these other three areas, those nuanced areas of our lives, because at the end of the day, the decisions that we make will take us to the destination that we'll be, whether we want to be there or not. Largely where you are today is a result of your choices. And so we want to get you past the robot. We want you to understand that when God's speaking, that you don't look at that God's word or God's methods of speaking to you like we did to the person giving us direction. We just kind of stared at him and like, really? But very often that's how Christians feel. And it's my hope through this series that we've lifted that veil for you, because it is not complicated for you to hear God's voice. Now today, I want to talk to you about the aspect of the pillar of the people of God. We need each other. The Bible tells us very clearly when in the book of Corinthians, where in 1 Corinthians, where he was talking about the body of Christ that we're members one of another, he said this in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. We are members one of another. Now, through the years, and I don't know, in 20-some years of pastoring, maybe 30, 40 times, maybe more, people have come to me and said this in so many words. I don't believe in organized church. We have home church. We listen to a CD or we watch something on the internet. We have our home church. Now, I understand most people do that because they've been either hurt or they're fearful. So I'm not putting anybody down. But that's thoroughly unscriptural. There is no such thing as home church. Home church is like the old cereal Grape Nuts. It's not grape and it's not nuts. It's a box of little rocks. There is no such thing as home church. None. Because you are members one of another. You cannot separate yourself from the body of Christ. Every Christian should be connected, involved, serving, giving in a local church. Every Christian. That is the general revealed will of God. You don't have to pray about it. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to call Aunt Susie about it. You just have to follow it. Every Christian should be involved in a local church. Now, here's the reality. Have you ever seen somebody with beautiful eyes? You say, oh my goodness, your eyes are beautiful. Well, if you pop those rascals out and put them on a plate, they are not beautiful any longer. They're only beautiful in the context of the body. Wow, you have a beautiful smile. Bust those teeth out. Put them in a plate and just look at them and say, well, let me see. Put them back. Them some beautiful teeth. No. They're only beautiful in the context of the body. We need each other. Listen to what Ecclesiastes 4 says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor or their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone. When he falls, has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. A threefold cord is not quickly or easily broken. What he's saying is that you are that individual strand by yourself. And you can break that very easily. But you take any three strands of anything and you weave them together. They will not just be three times as strong. They'll be much stronger than that. They're combined. When you put three together, it's not three times. It's much more than that. It creates this bond. And he said, woe to the person who lives their life alone. Woe to the Christian who lives their life alone. You are going to miss the voice of God that he uses through people. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, he says this. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfilling the law of Christ. We are to bear the burdens of each other. Here's the reality, though. Others cannot help you bear burdens that you've kept to yourself. That's why it's so critically important that you get connected to church. You get connected to, you say, well, you know, I love God. I don't know if I love church. That's like saying, you know, Jesus, I love you. I hate your bride. The church is called the bride of Christ. Jesus loved the church so much he gave himself for her. And the church is called the bride of Christ. It's like coming to me, Pastor John, I love you. I hate your wife's guts. We're not getting along. It's his bride. Be careful. Listen, I just want to encourage you. Be careful how you talk about the body of Christ. They're members one of another. We are a part of the very body of Christ. When you speak against his body, you speak against him. That's why half of the garbage on Facebook, 15 reasons why the church is this and church is that, some of them have legitimate things in them, but at the end of the day, any idiot can sit down and complain. I said that out loud, I'm sorry. Go fix something with your life. Go make something better. Go get in the middle of people that are messed up. Say, what do you mean people that are messed up? It's called church. So I don't know messed up people, just do this. And you'll find one. Sure, people that have issues that come together will have issues, absolutely. That's life. But man, get in the middle of it and make it better. Why don't you start writing some lists of what's right with the body of Christ and put those on Facebook. Because I have to tell you something, I'm tired of listening to people sitting in a basement in their underwear. Couldn't care. Well, this is what I think. Well, whoop-dee-doo. Go build something. Any bonehead can tear something down. Any idiot can get pressed by going and killing people. Go build something with your life. That's what you're called to do. The people of God were meant to build one another. And it's messy. And it can be ugly. And you can get your feelings hurt. And you can hurt people's feelings. But it is worth the battle. It's worth the fight. Because when we come together as the body of Christ, we literally are empowered by the head of the church to do the works of Jesus in the earth. And what you can never do alone, we can do together. And it is an incredible thing, the church of Jesus Christ. It's an incredible thing. And I celebrate it, flaws and all, because he loves you. It's an amazing way to live. Now I want to get really practical now. I want to apply the four pillars to a very specific area this morning. You can take any subject matter in your life and you can take these four pillars. I want to walk you through practically how to do this. So let's take, for example, someone who wants to get married. Now in our culture, many, many people now are single that are well beyond, you know, their late, you know, early 20s and such. They're, you know, they've been through maybe a death of a spouse or divorce or you know, things that break up a home or end a marriage. And they're single. And I want to walk you through the steps in the Bible. Parents, if you have kids, you have grandkids, this is really important information for you. If you're single, you ought to just right now stand up and go, thank you, Jesus. I'm telling you, this can save your life. Let's walk through the four pillars of, let's take a very practical area, because the majority of people in our culture get married. And some do not because of very valid reasons. And some do not because they're feared. They're driven through fear. And so I want to encourage you how to hear the voice of God in maybe one of the most critical decisions you might ever make in your life or people around you that you love might ever make in their life. Let's start with the pillar of God's word. What does God's word say about me as an individual who intends to join my life with another person? Listen to what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? So here's the will of God, the word of God. Hear his voice. When it comes to dating somebody and marrying somebody, he said, don't join your life to someone who isn't a believer. So if you're not going to marry an unbeliever, common sense would tell you it's unwise to date an unbeliever. So, well, you know, pickings are slim at the church, and what am I going to do? What you're going to do is be a Christian that submits yourself to the God that loves you and trust him. And don't go off. You know, again, people will come and say, well, you know, Pastor John, I feel like, that is a lousy way to govern your life, by the way. I feel like the Lord's using me to win her or him to the Lord. No. You don't have to make stupid choices to win someone to Jesus. Don't lie to yourself. Be honest. You're dating for a variety of reasons, someone that you know isn't a Christian, because you've made compromises in your heart, because your needs are greater than your wisdom. But I don't know if you've lived long enough. If you live long enough, I promise you, you're going to come into places in your life where your needs are going to outweigh your wisdom. Anybody ever been there? Sure. But when you put all four pillars together, and when we get to the last one, the people of God, you're going to find out how that the people of God can help you when your needs grow greater than your wisdom. But do not date or marry an unbeliever. Well, Pastor, everybody I meet at the bar is not saved. Stop fishing in a sewer. You fish in the sewer, you're going to catch poo-poo. It's just common sense. Saying every you people, you're telling me, I'm not telling you they're bad people. I'm telling you, likely people there at 1 a.m. are not there because they want you to kind of have a conversation about calculus. If a dude's in a bar at 1 a.m, he's wanting typically to go home with a woman. So when he's talking to you and buying you a drink, he doesn't think you're thirsty. He wants to take your clothes off. Was that too plain? Well, I don't think he's that way. Come here, just you and I, ladies. You're wrong. Just wisdom. Not only then is a believer, not only should they be a believer with the word of God, but the word, are they a believer with fruit? Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 7:15-16. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Well, they said they're a Christian. They said they love the Lord. You need to examine some fruit. You need to find out their history. You need to find out if you had to live off the Christian fruit in their life, would you starve to death? Well, you know, I've been hurt at the church, and so I don't go to church a lot, blah, blah, blah. Well, buck it up, big boy, and get your feelings back in order and go obey God. Well, you know, I gave my life to the Lord at a camp when I was 9. You're 42. Do you have fruit? I'm not talking about being judgmental. I'm talking to you about God's voice to protect you so that you can have the life he intended for you to have. Because God wants you to be joined to another person so that you together can go after the things of God, the purposes of God, not just for you, but your whole family. There are enough enemies in this world. There are enough problems in this world without tracking down and making your own. How many of you know, if you're like me, some of your worst trouble has been self-imposed? Anybody else had any problems in life that you went out and found? Well, man, God's word will protect you from that. Let's look at the wisdom of God now. If you're looking to get married, don't get in a hurry. Because things start to happen when you feel something deeply for somebody. Well, I really feel like I love them. And the younger you are, the more likely you are to have hormones involved that are making you drive toward things that likely are not sustainable in a marriage. Because if sexuality, if sex is your only issue, if that's your bond in a marriage, that's not going to last very long. Now, that you need that in marriage, it's important and God intended it. But it is not the kind of love that will sustain a marriage. It is the kind of love that is produced from a loving marriage. And if you don't have a loving marriage, I got news for you. That side's going away real fast. Yeah, you'll lose that loving feeling, I promise you. And then you'll be like, listen, man, when we were dating, we were just, you know, can I tell you what happened in a counseling appointment one time? Had a guy look at me and he said, Pastor John, he said, look, I'm not proud of this, but look, when we were dating, we weren't Christians. We had sex like drunk monkeys. I said, well, there you go. He said, but now she has turned into the flying nun. She won't let me touch her. And I began to unpack that with them. Because can I tell you something about the wisdom of God? If you learn to literally honor God with your body and develop a love for somebody that does not add the element of sex prior to marriage, I don't mean making a mistake here or there, but, you know, people that say, well, you know, God understands we're adults. No, he doesn't. Being an adult's not a reason to be unwise. In fact, it should be the opposite. But it's really important that when it comes to issues like that, that you're going to make a decision that largely you're going to have great premarital sex or great postmarital sex. And I got news for you. You're going to be married a lot longer than you were single. But that's the wisdom of God. The scripture tells us very clearly, do not get in a hurry. Isaiah 28:16 says, he that believes shall not make haste. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test or prove all things and hold fast to what is good or have been proven. Testing something takes time. It really does. It takes time to test something. It matters. You've got to prove things out. You've got to be able to bear, you know, look at the fruit. Remember this, past performance in a person's life really does indicate future expectations. How a person lives, you've got to examine the fruit. You've got to look at the way they live. This is what the wisdom of God will teach you. Listen to what Proverbs chapter 6 says. Let me ask you this before I get there. They should have a work ethic. Do they have a job? That's a good question. In fact, there's a whole book of the Bible called the Book of Job. J-O-B. That's Job, I understand. But here's the deal. They need to have a job. Paul admonished the church at Thessalonica, and he said this, I'm giving you this standard and rule. Anybody among you that won't work shouldn't eat. That's pretty plain, isn't it? I'm hungry. Get you a job. I don't want to work. Don't eat. You'd be amazed how starvation is a great impetus to a job. People work hard when they can't eat. And I'm not talking about people in need. And I'm talking about if you're dating somebody who is unemployed and it's going on the third year, I just can't find a job. That's a lie. I'll say that again on this side of the church. That's not true. We could go out and I promise you in 3 days, find them a job. It may not be the job they want. It may not be the pay scale they want, but it will be a job. It will be somewhere. And I'm talking about typically, you know, people starting out in life or not starting out in life. If you're dating someone and they've had 7 jobs in 8 years and it's always the company's fault, just between you and I, it's not the company's fault. You're about to marry an unstable person. But they seem so sweet. Yeah, outwardly, but inwardly, they're deceiving you. And if you'll take your time, and if you'll wait, if you let some things prove out over time, never find someone and marry them in 3 months, 3 weeks, 6 months. Now, are there exceptions? Of course there are exceptions. But can I tell you this? How many of you know you could run across Interstate 79 and never get hit by a vehicle blindfolded if you're lucky? because it's right behind us over here. It can get you right on, our church is right off of I-79. So we could get you back there blindfold you and say, have at it. You never know. Others have made it. What a horrible way to make a decision. Just a thought, if you're considering thoughts. Listen to what the Bible says about getting you a J-O-B. Proverbs 6, verse 9 says, how long are you going to laze around doing nothing? How long before you get out of bed? A nap here, a nap there, a day off there. Sit back, take it easy. Do you know what comes next? Just this. You can look forward to a dirt poor life. Poverty, your permanent house guest. Poverty's a curse. The Bible calls it one. And you don't want to marry somebody whose path they've chosen leads to poverty. Well, love, we just love each other. Love, money won't matter. Yeah, get you married and have a couple kids. You find out how quickly money matters. Just diapers alone. Try this one. Baby, I don't want to work, so we're going to get some cloth diapers. You'll find out how quickly money matters right about there when you're scraping stuff out of cloth to save money. Speaking of money, how do they handle money? It's a good question. If you're marrying somebody in the 30s, 40s, or 50s, you need to see a credit report. Oh, dear Lord, that's not very romantic. Doesn't mean there aren't extenuating circumstances that could have injured their credit. But if somebody's telling you, yeah, I'm in great shape, and they got credit card bills, they got 50 grand in credit card debt, they ain't telling you. Because when you say I do, they become your bills. You say, well, why didn't you tell me? Well, I didn't think you'd understand. It's too late, because now you went and, because I can't tell you how many times people, Pastor, I love him. We have to. We love each other. Oh, the Lord put us together. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The Lord put us together. The Lord put us together. And they can't wait to get that rascal. And 19, 20 months later, they can't wait to unload that rascal. The wisdom of God will save you some issues. Do they tithe? Do they take a tenth, a dime of every dollar and put it where it belongs in the kingdom of God if they're that kind of believer? You say, well, Pastor John, why does that matter? Because it belongs to God. So here's what I want to ask. Any boy who wants to marry my two girls, are you taking from God for your own benefit? Because if you will take from God, you will take from my daughter. And then I have to go to jail. My son, I said, now listen, when he marries, look, I know this is not right. I have two daughters. I have a son. Somehow dads are going to understand this. Moms, you aren't going to buy into this. But we dads, when our sons find a girl, we're kind of like, yes. She, God, thank you, God. Our daughters were like, Jesus, I don't know if you can date my daughter. It's just hard. But the reality of it is, if they don't handle money well, if they don't steward money well, not just in the kingdom, if they don't know how to handle money, then they don't know how to steward their life. Stewardship of money, the Bible, Jesus, in fact, points to that as an indication of how he will even entrust to you things that are of great importance. In fact, he said it this way. If you're not faithful in that which is little, when he was talking about giving money, he said, you'll never be faithful in that which is much. And if you aren't faithful in that which belongs to another, how many of you know when you go in debt, that's money that belongs to another? How many of you know when you, the dime of every dollar belongs to another, belongs to God? So if they're not faithful with monies that are committed either by God's word or their choices to another, then he said they won't be faithful with other decisions. It's a great wisdom indicator. Doesn't mean you can't overcome it. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get married. It just means you need to have your eyes open. Whether you're 22 or 52, it matters. And so wisdom. Now, let me take one more jump into the wisdom issue and we're going to move on. If your child is a teenager, they are likely going to grow up into adulthood and get married. Let me give you a wisdom principle that you cannot always implement in your home, depending on your kid's age and whether both spouses are Christians, and maybe your kids have just started to hear about the things of God. Don't take wisdom and drill what you've learned in wisdom into somebody who doesn't possess that wisdom and just demand it. You've got to communicate. If you have a 17-year-old that's dating somebody very, very seriously and they're a senior in high school, this is not, you don't go home and change this overnight. But there is a process. But mom and dad, listen to me. I don't have strong enough language to help you understand this. Do not put your children in a position to fall in love while they are in high school. Generally speaking, that doesn't work out well. I can think of maybe 7, 8, 9 couples that I've met in my lifetime that's worked out. But again, it's like running across 79 blindfolded. Well, I know my third cousin's brother's uncle's dog's friend's uncle's brother's third pet that used to live in China. They did it. Well, that's not a reason for you. God has given your children this magnificent gift, this magnificent boundary in their life. You need to protect it. That boundary where, now, if a child has not been abused physically or sexually, that it's been protected. If they've not been abandoned by a parent, it's been protected. But largely, and in our culture, much of that's been stripped away before the child even has an option. But once a little boy and a little girl start to like each other, they're human. They're supposed to become intimate physically. It's how God made us. It's your job to make sure they're not put in a position. Doesn't mean they can't date. Doesn't mean they can't go to a dance together. Doesn't mean they can't spend time together. It means they can't spend a lot of time together. It means they can't be talking 17 hours a day and texting 4 million times a day. And I love you, and I love you. Let's get pre-engaged. Come here, just us. Just us, no one else, okay? Here's what pre-engaged means. They're having sex. Look, I'll try this side of the church. That didn't work. We're pre-engaged. That means if I go back to my counseling session, they're likely having sex like drunk monkeys. Yeah, that was special. Protect your child. Doesn't mean your kid's wrong. I mean, they were made to be intimate. Don't send them in the basement alone. Where's your daughter and that boy? Where's your son and that girl? Well, they wanted some time alone in the basement. Are you brain dead? He's a good boy. There ain't no such thing. Unless he's a eunuch. Y'all know what a eunuch is in the Bible. I'm sorry, this is really graphic, but you know what life's graphic. A eunuch is someone who's been castrated. Now, the Bible also says there are eunuchs made of men. That's my job. This might be too raw for you, but can I tell you something? If you've sat in the meetings I've sat in and seen the heartache that I've seen, it's not too raw. You better get the wisdom on the front end rather than the sorrow on the back end. Hear the wisdom of God. Mom and dad, and again, don't drill this into kids when they have never heard this before. You've got to do things slowly and wisely. But I'll tell you what. Before a little boy and a little girl hold hands for the first time, that little boy's hand's shaking. It's so wet and sloppy, it's like he dipped it in water. Finally, when he touches her, she's like, oh, he's sick. Protect that innocence. Protect that innocence until they have an emotional capacity to be able to have some context of understanding of the responsibilities that come with loving another person. And if you'll give them such a greater chance in life. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean they won't make bad choices. Doesn't mean they won't struggle or stumble. It means that you aren't setting them up for one. Seek the wisdom of God and hear his voice. Then let's go to the next one. How would you deal with this when dealing with hearing from the Spirit of God? Last week, and if you weren't here, I don't have time to give much context to this. We talked about how God primarily speaks to his children through an inward witness, not a voice, not seeing an angel, but an inward just knowing. Paul, we found that aboard ship when he was a prisoner, and when they were about to leave port, he said to the centurion who was guarding him, and he said to the owner of the ship and everybody who would listen, he said, listen, sirs, he said, I perceive that this voyage is going to be much damage and hurt, not only to the ship and to the cargo, but to also of our lives. We should not sail. But the Bible said the centurion guarding Paul believed the owner of the ship and the captain more than he believed the things spoken by Paul. Why? Because of external evidence. Paul didn't say, God told me. Paul said, I have a perception. See, that inward witness, when you add the pillar of the Word of God, the wisdom of God, when you start to relate to somebody, you're going to immediately have an inside something like a red light, a green light, or a yellow light. And I can't tell you how many times people have had this check, like, well, I know this isn't right, but then they just keep dating long enough and they override it. And now they're in love. Now they may have been together sexually, and that created a whole nother bond. And now they're convinced they're in love. And it's very devastating for people. And so, just like with Paul, you have to be careful. And those that were around Paul, they let the external evidence override an inward knowing. I think every one of us in this room have experienced times in our life when we had something in here saying, something's wrong here, something's wrong here. But it looked so good, you went ahead and you, like me, followed the external evidence. And when you got to the end of that road and it was ugly, you said, man, something inside me told me that that was off. How many raise your hand if you've ever had that happen to you? That is the inward witness. When Jimmy Bob or Susie Bob comes into your family's life, mom and dad, and I'm not giving you the, this is not a right of, this is not the gift of paranoia, okay? But you're around them and you just have something on the inside. Something is off here. Doesn't mean it's a bad person. And it doesn't mean it shouldn't happen. It means there's going to have to be some things maybe come to the surface to give them the best chance of success. And so you exercise wisdom. You exercise the Word in your life and you do what the Word says, and then you hear intimately from the Holy Spirit, which lastly takes us to the people of God. The people of God. Now remember this. The people of God is only one pillar. So it is not a license to have other people direct your life. It's not a license to have, quote, your church or church people or people you know come and tell you how to live your life. That is not what this is for. These are to work together. Most people that I've seen that really love God get off base because they talk about so much of what they believe the Holy Spirit has spoken to their heart that they ignore wisdom, they ignore the Word of God, and they ignore the people of God. So the people of God are very important in this equation, very important. But they are not designed by God to rule your life. You need to put all the four pillars together. Listen to what Proverbs 11 says, verse 14. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety or deliverance by God. Now listen, through human agency. He said, in the multitude of counselors, there's safety and even deliverance by God. Now listen to the caveat. Through human agency, God wants to help direct your life through a multitude of counselors. Let's bring it into a case in point. There's a young lady dating a guy. She loves him. He's so sweet. Oh, you don't know him like I know him. Of course they don't. And no one can see the sweet you can see because he's only sweet deep down. But you got to dig for 2 days to find it. But you love him. And three or four people that are friends of yours pull you aside and say, man, you know, I got to tell you, look, I don't want to put him down, but he's a pig. Is that too plain? The girls don't talk that way. Guys talk that way with their buddies. They just tell us, oh, let's do it like this. Maybe this is how women do it. I don't know. He's not really sweet. I don't think he's everything he promised to be to you. How do you know? Well, I saw him sticking his tongue in another girl's mouth. So that's really blunt. Do you know how many people have that kind of nonsense happen? Come back and he says, baby, you don't understand. No, you fell over and it happened. Is that how it happened? And he talks the girl into the fact that it was just a one-time thing. I'm not a slob and a pig, baby, I promise. And he buys her something and he gives her flowers. And she goes, he's so sweet. And your friends go, no. And since if I were your father, no problem. You find him in a stream just bouncing like this face down. Bup, 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 bup. Now, I really wouldn't do that. I would be tempted. As every dad in the room said, amen. Amen. And they say, well, that's not very nice. That's why we meet men in church, because it always isn't nice. And some men need to see not nice. It's called the fear of dad. You are a type of God to your family as a father. You are the only God they know when they're little. and you're the only protection. I mean real protection. No, ladies, no offense to you. No offense. We all have our strengths and weaknesses, men and women. But can I promise you this? Men are a lot. Men can snow mom. Oh, he's so kind. And the dad will be like, no, I smell pig, man. You know why? Because he has some pig in him. That's the truth. That's a lesson for another day, though. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. Proverbs 25:11 says, a word fitly spoken, now listen to this, is like apples of gold in settings of silver. When other people speak into your life, whether it's about relationships or other things, people that you trust, their words are more valuable than apples of gold in settings of silver. I think of some of the people in the life of this church. Just on a daily basis, I have a really strong working, we work very closely together, Steve Moore and Matt Gates and I. And I can't tell you how many times in these years that what Matt and Steve have brought to me and what, and I assume, I hope, brought to them. But I can tell you this, they have brought information to me. They have brought ideas. They have brought things that needed corrected. They had not just things to be corrected, but the way to fix it. It has been like apples of gold in settings of silver. And it happens all over this church constantly because we listen to the people of God in the areas in which God has given them grace and responsibility. And it's made this church incredible. There's a man I've told you about, and I'm going to get him here eventually on a first Wednesday to speak to you. And I want him to tell you the things that he told Michelle and I that helped change our life. A man named Claude Robald, who came into our life to help consult for the church because it was growing so quickly. But when it was all done, forget what he did for the church. He took my life and Michelle's life and his words and his wife Jan. Their influence on our life and their words in our life were like apples of gold in settings of silver. And my life is how it is today because the people of God, that person of God, was given entrance into my soul and he helped me immensely. He helped me deal with things I didn't even know I had. That's how most of us are. The issues that plague us, we don't know how to even find them, let alone fix them. And there are people in the body of Christ that are uniquely given by God for you. They are God's deliverance through human agency. And when you take God's word, what does he say? God's wisdom, how do I act it out? God's spirit, what do I sense in my heart? And God's people, what do they say? And you put all of these four pillars together, you are going to find your place and yourself in a strong position where you are pretty well persuaded this next step is a God step. And here's what I want you to know in closing about hearing God. All of us have a past, and all of us have a past that we regret in part. All of us have made decisions that have maybe ruined or hurt our life or ruined or hurt other people's lives. And not a one of us have escaped it. Every one of us have done it. And if I can show you a way, and if you can buy into God's plan to where the majority of your decisions can be God ordained, you are going to end up in a place 5 to 10 years from now that you won't believe is possible. I look at what God has helped Michelle and I do with our life, and I think of that when we came together, and the expectation of anybody with any sense would have been, bless their heart. And we would have said the same thing. But by following and hearing God's voice, not just the voice of the Holy Spirit, but listening to what God's word said over our life, applying the wisdom of God, hearing the Spirit of God, and then look at what's happened when the people of God show up. Thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people have come to Jesus Christ just in this church since it began. I would have never dreamed that was possible in my own thinking. Now that's my call. I don't know what God has for you. It doesn't have to be expansive and large. It just has to be God's plan for you. And you were meant to live your life to fulfill that plan. That's why it's so important you get connected to the people of God That's why it's so important you get involved in your local church. If you come to Victory, you get involved. You go through Growth Track. You start serving. You start giving. Because it matters. Don't cut off the voice of God in your life. Because he will direct and order your paths. He'll take you places you never dreamed of. And he will rescue you from generations of sorrow. And he will take your children in a path that no one in your family tree ever thought possible. Because let me tell you something. A lot of our family trees are full of fruits and nuts. And we, look, it's just, you can't pick your family. But you do not have to let your family origin of earth direct your future. Because my Bible tells me that we are members of the family of God, not just in heaven, but on the earth. And your heavenly Father wants to have a say in the outcome of your life because he has an amazing plan for you. As we go forward and together, we're going to hear God. Amen? Amen? Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the great privilege of loving you, the great privilege of following your will for our lives. I thank you for the ability to hear your voice. Lord, I've touched on a lot of things that maybe even could have caused wounds that are in people to be magnified or hurt. Lord, with all my heart, that's not my intent. No matter where we find ourselves today, help us to understand that there are steps forward where you come and you are the restorer of our soul. That Jesus, you came to give us life and life in abundance. You came to bring us an intimate relationship with you so that we could walk with you, honor you, and please you, and fulfill the purpose for which we were created. So Lord, I pray that as we move forward, that we as your people have a confidence that we can hear our God. In Jesus' name, as heads remain bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, you don't know Jesus as the Lord of your life. If today you were to draw your final breath and slip into an eternity, do you know where you would spend it? Jesus said there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. You don't go to heaven because you're a good person. I'm glad if you are. You don't go to heaven because you've been to church or you've had a sacrament of a church. No church attendance, no church on the planet, no church denomination, no sacrament of any church can make you right with God, including this one. But opening your heart and inviting Christ into your life, he promised if you do, he'll come. He won't turn you away and he will make you brand new. Your sin debt will be washed away. You'll become a new creation in Christ and you will leave this place a child of God, heaven bound. And then your next step is you go after God with all your heart. He'll take you places you never dreamed possible. I don't mean religion. I mean walking with a living God in everyday life. Not some weird religious, you know, outcast. I'm talking about you living in a real world, walking with a living God, making decisions that will take you to a high place in him. Because my Bible tells me he will set your feet on a high place. So if you're here today and you've never given your life to the one who gave his life for you and you want to know before you leave this place that Jesus is the Lord of your life, with every head bowed, every eye closed, said, Pastor, please include me in that prayer. I will pray for you right where you're seated. The whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, Pastor, please pray for me. Simply raise your hand right where you're at and I'll include you in that prayer. Do it right now and we'll pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed up. If I've not yet acknowledged you, you've not yet raised your hand, do it quickly right now, and we're going to pray. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Now listen, if you raised your hand, or you should have, with those many, many people that just have, pray this out loud where you hear it. Jesus will come into your heart. He will never leave you and never forsake you. Pray it where you hear it, and we will pray it together with you. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name, and I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sin debt. I open the door of my heart, the door of my life, and Jesus, I invite you in. I receive you now to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God, and my sin is washed away. I am now heaven bound, and I confess Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen. Would you give them a hand, please?
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.